Welcome into another live edition of 410 Sports Talk. I'm Glenn Martin here with my co-host James the Rascal Haskell. Yes, Jonesy. Jonesy, the Rascal was not late. On time, early, in fact. Febu, yes, Jimmy did have to kick some people off the dial-up to get it going.
I'm home. I'm home, okay? Not on the road.
That's right. He's got that good internet today, ladies and gentlemen. But we are here to, of course, preview the upcoming matchup against the Cleveland Browns, the second matchup against the Browns so far this season. Much different game, much different players on each side of this game, even though it is, you know, two teams that have played together. But we are excited to get into it. It's a huge matchup, a matchup with, I think, the best two defenses in football, which is, of course, exciting for any fan of defensive football. But first and foremost, Jimbo, how are you doing this Friday evening?
Dude, doing good. I mean, you know, we talked about pre-show. My son, unfortunately, has a fever, so it's never the best. But hopefully he fights through it. He's a strong kid. So, but I'm doing good. Glad it's a Friday. I'm looking forward to the holidays for the first time since Tanya and I have lived in this house. Her parents and our her nephew are going to be here for Christmas. So we're looking for it. Like, COVID threw a whole monkey wrench into everything, you know. So doing good, man. How are you?
Doing well. Excited to see basketball on the TV, even though I don't like the dark floors, like I mentioned. It's kind of messes with my color blindness, but that is nobody's problem but my own. I absolutely cannot wait to see this Ravens team take the field this weekend. Another litmus test, it's being called, even though I feel like we've been hearing that a lot lately. We heard that about the Lions game. Then we heard about Seattle. Now we're hearing it again about Cleveland. I'm sure we'll hear it this coming Thursday when we play the Bengals, but I do think it's a big game. It's a chance for the Ravens to separate themselves a bit in the AFC North, which of course is the most competitive division in all of sports, certainly in football. But let's get right into Sean's comment here, because I did hear this. Sean says, "Evening, boys. Did you hear TJ Houshmandzadeh said he thinks even the Ravens receivers would prefer Burrow over Lamar? Crazy disrespectful." Yeah, the dude's a clown. The dude's an absolute clown. I mean, he's obviously just saying it to try and garner attention and maybe
stir in the pot, dude.
Yeah, try and increase his on-air time. But it's one thing to choose him, and that's fine. He's a Cincinnati Bengal. I know he played briefly with the Ravens, but he's a Bengal.
Yeah.
So I don't blame him there. But when he took it so far as to say that the Ravens receivers would take him, I mean, that was just an insult, right?
Yeah. I mean, come on, man. That's over the top. And I think a little, like you said, it's a little, what's the word? Yeah, it's a little catchy to try and get the headlines going. He did it exactly for that, so we would talk about it. So you did your job, Houshmandzadeh. Good job.
Yes. But who's my dad? Remember that old commercial?
No.
Dude, there was an old commercial about like fantasy football leagues, and a guy goes up and he goes, "I'll take TJ Houshmandzadeh," or something. He like totally butchers the name, and it was just a commercial of people butchering it. You guys have seen it in the chat. I know you guys have seen it. But yeah, he was obviously just, I don't know, trying to be funny or what, but the dude, yeah, I don't think he's going to get a lot more time on the air.
Like, Joe Burrow is a good football player. I understand that. Right. But I don't think Lamar's teammates want to play. You ask Mark Andrews who his quarterback is.
You think OBJ is picking, like, come on, dude. Like, what are we talking about? Zay Flowers is picking Joe Burrow. Come on.
Right.
It's his guy. That's his guy. By the way, he's the best quarterback in football right now on top of that. So, yeah, the dude's an absolute goofball. But let's get into breaking down this matchup here, Jimbo. And, of course, we always start, you know, in the same place, and that's with the injury report. And, boy, let me tell you, it's looking really good for the Ravens, and it's not looking so good for the Cleveland Browns. They have some injuries at some extremely key positions, and we're going to get into them here. I'm going to pull it up. But the good news is for the Ravens, apparently today, although it was an indoor walkthrough because of the rain, if you guys are in Baltimore, you guys know it rained all day here. It was a gloomy, disgusting day. So they did have a walkthrough indoors. However, all 53 members of the team were present and active.
Nice. I mean, wait, so does that include Bowser?
No, because he's technically still on that list. He's not on the active 53. So, no, unfortunately, that does not include Bowser. But, man, I am really efforting to find And normally it's not difficult to find the practice report for the Browns, but I'm having a bit of trouble. My trusted source that I go to that always has it does not have it right now. But that's good news, Jimbo. I mean, you see, we did have some flare-ups through the middle of the week where guys were, you know, all of a sudden popped up on the injury report. I saw Marlon was added with a hamstring. Here we go. I found. Okay,
I just found something. But you got it?
Yeah, I just had to go to a different source. But here we go now. Because it was getting a little concerning. I was going, wait a minute. Why? I never like the mid-week add to the injury report because that could – you never know. It's kind of a wild card there when guys get hurt in the middle of this of the week at practice. But here we go. All right. So as you guys can see popping up on the screen right this moment, boom, there we go. We did have some surprise DNPs going into the Friday practice. Like Michael Pierce had an illness that kept him out for not one but two practices. And it was like, man, what is this illness that he's dealing with? But luckily back to full. Now Marlon Humphrey came up like he was walking gingerly after I think it was a one-on-one, and he has a hamstring. He's limited. So I'm a little concerned, but that's the only person on our team that's coming into this game with injury concerns, Jimbo.
Hey, man. We're all right with that. Look, let's hope and knock on wood. Everybody, you know, wear your pajamas in and out, cross your fingers and your toes. And let's hope that this continues to be the case this season, because generally, if you look back, the healthiest teams are the ones that get it done in the end. So let's hopefully that continues to be the case and hope for nothing but good health. I did see one comment really quickly by, if you want to throw that up, by Sean Pisker real fast. Let's see if I
can grab it. Here we go. I got it.
Oh, here we go. Yeah, I wanted to put this up because I agree wholeheartedly with Sean on that. Sorry, I can't stand Burrow. I think Burrow is entirely carried by his wide receivers. Hate him. LOL. Yeah, I think haven't I said this? Joe Burrow is my least favorite player in the NFL.
Least?
Outside of the normal ones like Deshaun Watson or like Tyreek Hill. I mean, he like broke his kid's arm, so like that automatically qualifies you as a scumbag. Outside of like the scumbags, then yeah. I as far as like a normal guy who doesn't have like off the field issues, not a fan of Joe Burrow. I don't like him. So I'm with you, Sean. I think that Joe is a really good football player. I won't say that he's completely carried by his wide receivers. I think he's a really good football player. That being said, I think that people reach on him a little bit. I heard somebody say, I don't remember who it was, but Joe Burrow gets almost as much love as Patrick Mahomes for winning two Super Bowls as for losing a Super Bowl.
Seems like it.
Yeah, he's kind of like...
he has hands down the best receiving core when all three are out there.
Like, yeah, I mean, that's undeniable. It's kind of like, remember Kevin before he won an NBA final? Like, he kind of skated away from a lot of criticism, I felt like.
Yeah.
It's kind of like that a little bit. Kevin Durant speaking about... is who I'm speaking about. But yeah.
He's a good player. I just think he just rubs people the wrong way. Because to me, I don't know. Look, I know I'm a Ravens fan, but Jimmy will tell you, I was a huge Joe Burrow fan when he was in college. Yep. Again, I think he had the greatest team ever in the history of college. So I'm not like a Joe Burrow hater. But to me, it just feels like fake swag. Like he's being a poser. Like when he wears the glasses, it just looks like someone goes, well, how do I look cool? Oh, I put this on? Like it just doesn't feel legitimate and
yeah,
it doesn't feel natural. It feels like he tries too hard. So that's my only problem, but he is a really good player, but certainly helped by a really good supporting cast around him outside of a pretty shaky offensive line he's had to deal with for quite some time. But let's get into this Cleveland Browns report, Jimbo, because
for a second, I'm like, wait, are we playing the Bengals?
Yeah, I know, right? But they are absolutely beat up in one key area. They are really hurting on the offensive line.
Yep.
They're out both their tackles for this week. You can see DeJuan Jones, the 6'9", I think he is, just absolute monster, is out at right tackle. Dedrick Wills has been out at left tackle. So right now they are switching guys around. They're trying anything they can to find who's going to play right, who's going to play left tackle. And we're going to get into who will be in there, you know, who we expect to be in there. But that is a huge, huge loss when you're down both your tackles going into a game against the number one sack team in the National Football League. So That's not good. But as you can see, it's a long list. Most of the guys on this list were able to get back to practice on Friday, at least in a limited fashion.
Mm-hmm.
Joku will play. Ankaranqua will play. Pierre Strong looks like he's in line to get out there. Deshaun Watson, Jimmy's least favorite player, will be out there. Will not be a PJ Walker game. So it's mainly looking like they're going to be without Marquise Goodwin. So speed is a problem. So here's what they did. This is weird, Jimbo. They traded Donovan Peoples-Jones to the Lions last week or 2 weeks ago at the deadline.
Yep.
And now they lost Marquise Goodwin and David Bell. So they have zero speed now because they traded away one part of their speed and the other two part are hurt. So yeah, Amari Cooper's going to play, but who else after him is the question. Mm-hmm. So Jimbo, they're banged up.
Yeah, and you know, I say that I want to see all teams at full health, and I think we could beat any team at full health. But like, I also realize that the NFL it's 100% certain that you're going to be on the injury report at some point, unless you're Joe Thomas. I'm sure he was even on the injury report; he just didn't miss snaps. So look, it just is what it is. It's part of the game. And the Ravens have an opportunity to take advantage of it, is I guess the nicest way I can say this. I'm not feeling full of empathy right now towards the Cleveland Browns about their injury report. And part of that is because of all the times we've gone through similar seasons, right, where it's just absolutely brutal as far as the injury report goes. And, I'm not feeling bad for them. But what I was going to say, to your point, though, when I saw their tackle go down, and just like you said, they're missing both tackles at this point. The other one, he went on IR, what, like a week ago?
Yeah, a week or two. Yep.
Yeah. He used to be in the commercials with what's his name?
With Baker?
Yeah, didn't he?
I don't know.
I'm pretty sure he was in the commercials with Baker, like playing video games at the Cleveland Browns Stadium. Anyway. Okay. But yeah, so he's on, they're going to struggle and I'm happy about it. Is I guess what I would say. I'm okay with it. I'm looking forward to the Ravens taking advantage of it.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not mad about being the less banged up team. Massey says, did you see CJ Stroud versus Tampa? Hope he does it again this week. We'll be watching both games, Ravens, Browns, Texans, Bengals. Yeah. Now the unfortunate thing for the Texans are they had maybe the longest injury list I've ever seen. I mean, it was like 20 players, Jimbo, were on their injury list and obviously had a bunch of key guys. But yeah, I'll be rooting for them like crazy. I hope they can continue this momentum. I mean, he threw 5 touchdowns. They went over 500 yards. It's a different team playing the Bengals with, certainly different aspirations than where Tampa's headed right now. But yeah, they could do it. They could absolutely. They're playing way better now than they were when we played them in week one. That's for sure.
Yep, agreed. I'm like you said in our last show, glad we saw them early.
Yeah, no doubt. Bunch of young, hungry, talented players. Ravens O's Nation says, I hate TJ Watt more than Burrow personally. Yeah, what about that, Jimbo? I know you're not a TJ Watt fan with his
I got a lot of guys on my list.
You got a long list. You got the CVS receipt for a list. Yeah.
When are they ever going to stop cutting down trees just to make useless receipts, by the way?
Did people just toss out on their way out?
Just send it to my email.
Yeah, well, a lot of people are going paperless.
Yeah, but no, I don't like TJ. So yeah, like I have the scumbag realm, but like once again, of normal guys, TJ is number two for me. Like it's Burrow TJ. So I'm with you, Ravens O's Nation. It's just exhausting, but I'm glad he got fined for knocking the lights out of Zay Flowers, and I hope that it discourages him from dropping haymakers on people because it's just crap. Like, how soon would an offensive lineman be penalized if he just hauled off and popped TJ in the face mask?
Yeah, that's what needs to be done, though. I mean, unfortunately, you just hope he doesn't get fined or kicked out of the game himself. But, yeah, that's probably what's going to take is the receipts, as they used to call it in the old wrestling industry. You keep receipts, man, and you got to deliver them every now and then. Like, you remember this? But yeah, all right, let's get into some more of our preview here, Jimbo. Dude, you know what's crazy is because of how good DeJuan Jones has been playing for them, I forgot that Conklin is their starting right tackle and a great player.
Still a great player.
You know, so they're all, I mean, they lost their starting right tackle, and then they got a surprise, you know, heck of a good play from DeJuan Jones, and now they're missing him.
Let's see if this works. Hold on. This is what's going on. This is what's going on right now.
Yes, dude. Dude, that's awesome.
You like that?
I do, man. Keep them coming, dude. I love it.
Yeah, for sure. All right, let's talk about it.
Yeah, let's talk. We'll start with their defense, okay, versus the Ravens offense. And look, I know you guys know the names. Myles Garrett and Za'Darius Smith, they're two talented pass rushers. Denzel Ward's on the outside. Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah, who was basically drafted to stop Lamar Jackson because of the speed he brings to the linebacker position. Grant Delpit is obviously coming into his own and becoming a really good player out of LSU. And then Greg Newsome. I mean, they got two good corners. They can really play. Man, they got names, Jimbo. Dalvin Tomlinson on the inside.
They always have, haven't they?
Seemingly. I mean, ever since they had Garrett, it seems like they've had pretty good guys around him. But it helps because for a while they weren't paying a quarterback. So it kind of makes you wonder how they're able to do this, paying the most for their quarterback and getting not a lot out of them. But that translates, Jimbo, to this. And I'm going to kick it to you to talk about more of the Ravens side of things. But that defense, number three in points. They give up just 17 points per game. They're number one in the league in yards allowed. They give up 235 yards per game. Mm-hmm. Third down, this should come as no surprise when you think about Myles Garrett, first in the league in third down prevent. They only allow offenses to convert third down at a 26% rate. I mean, that is absolutely impressive. Now, here's where they don't do well, and here's where they struggle, surprisingly. Red zone scoring defense, which sounds pretty good for what the Ravens have been doing lately, they're 28th in the league. They allow offensive opponents to score on 67% of their red zone trips. They score a touchdown. So it's kind of interesting. It's like it's really hard to get into that red zone when you're playing the Browns, as evidenced by their number one in the league as far as yards. But once you get there, Jimbo, quite successful teams have been at kind of punching it in and finishing those drives. And I think that might be the way the Ravens can kind of take advantage of them.
Yeah. You know, I think that speaking more on their defense before I talk about the Ravens offense is, we've said this before, this is not a new saying and it's not original to me, like styles make fights kind of thing. Mm-hmm. When I think of this game, I think about an overly aggressive defense. Like they thrive on their aggression. They thrive on the way they defend the pass, like not just the pass, but the receivers. And I think the Ravens, what they've been able to do against the Browns is take advantage of that aggression. Look, I think it's a sucky proposition to play against Lamar Jackson, period. But if you're going to man up against Lamar Jackson and he gets through the guys in front of you, it's just a problem, you know? And so I think that styles make fights. And I think that even though their defense is excellent, I think against an offense such as the Ravens, with a quarterback that's so dynamic with Lamar, I don't think that the matchup is great for them from a favorability standpoint. That's my key to the game offensively, actually, for the Ravens, is to really take advantage of their aggressive nature as a defense. Make them pay for it. You know, make them pay for it. And look, our offense has been able to do so, right? I mean, our offense is according to NFL.com, which this can change, but is, you know, ranked fourth right now. What other team is fourth and first as far as your units?
Crazy,
in the, bro. You know, in this, it's just so incredible to me. But, you know, you talk about our guys. We know who we got. You know, Mangini have been talking about the fact that Lamar's only thrown 9 touchdowns.
What a goof that guy is.
What an idiot. But look, Lamar's doing his thing and he's playing excellent football. I love to see that a running back is our highest rusher, not Lamar Jackson. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think that's super important, but Gus Edwards is playing really well. We are super excited to see, you know, Keaton Mitchell, who ran for like 131 or 129, something like that.
FedEx Ground Player of the Week, bruh. Only running back to get to triple digits last week.
Yeah,
only
one in the league. That? Crazy. But look, ultimately, this team, you said they're giving up, what, 17 a game?
Yeah.
The Ravens are averaging over 26 a game. And look, I think we're moving the ball really well. You're talking about, you know, over a little over 200, you know, 208 passing yards a game. Lamar's throwing it at a seven or completing it at a 71% clip. So I think the Ravens have an advantage, have an opportunity here based on the style of this defense to take advantage. And we have the weapons. It's not like we don't. So I'm really looking forward to it. But yeah, I mean, look, you said it. They got names and they've always had names, but ultimately you got to play as a unit. So I'm looking forward to the Ravens exploiting their aggression. And before I finish here, Glenn, I'll pass to you to give your key to the game and also your breakout player. But I just want to quickly give my breakout player. I'm excited about it. I've heard some whispers around town about Zay Flowers. But he's been a little quiet lately.
Okay.
And I'm not here for it. I'm simply not. Zay Flowers is a team player. We spread the ball around. We got a lot of mouths to feed. If you watch the tape, Zay is still getting open. He's still doing his thing. You know, he got the ball in this last game and dang near made a guy slide out of his entire uniform. Right. So Zay Flowers is plenty capable and is still a great pick. I know people have started to whisper because he hasn't been as active in these last few games, but Zay's going to get the rock. He's my breakout player this game. And I'm looking forward to seeing it.
Yeah, he has been quiet. One catch last week. Kind of surprising. But look, this team believes in balance. And their version of balance is that every guy touches the ball and every guy is a threat. They spread the ball around. I'm not mad about it. Now, the interesting thing for me about this game is if you look at the game when they played last time, first of all, a lot of guys were beat up on each side of the ball. The Ravens were without a ton of stars. OBJ, you know, Ronnie Stanley, Rashad Bateman didn't play in that game. Dafe Owe didn't play in that game. A lot of guys were missing. And so the Browns surprisingly came into that game and they weren't terribly aggressive to start the game. And as the game went on, they became increasingly more aggressive. They got man press coverage, like you mentioned. They came after Lamar Jackson. And unfortunately, like, we didn't have guys on the outside that could really make them pay at that time because OBJ was out, Bateman was out. So we were relying on a rookie Zay Flowers in his, what, second or third game, and then a bunch of other guys like Nelson Agholor. And I think that's what we're going to see to start this game. I think they're going to say, we got to get in their face and we got to hope that pressure and tight coverage is going to beat them. Because if they try and sit back and play that soft stuff, it's going to be bad news bears. So I expect them to get in the face of our receivers to try and disrupt the timing and then obviously get to the quarterback. So to me, my key to the game is just don't let Myles Garrett wreck the game. Cause he absolutely, like, he won them the Indianapolis game by himself. He was just too much of a problem. Mm-hmm. Now on our side, Ronnie Stanley has fared pretty well against Myles Garrett. Not to say he's been perfect because he certainly hasn't, but Myles Garrett usually makes guys look horrifyingly bad. And Stanley just seems to, and with help, seems to kind of keep him at a human-like level, you know, not Superman out there. And so that's what I expect this game. I expect him to do a good job of game plan, limit how he can impact. Certainly helps that you're getting healthier with Moses coming back on the offensive side, on the right side of the offensive line. But to me, it's limit what Garrett does to wreck the game, and you'll be just fine. And then my player of the week, my breakout player, it's Mark Andrews. I talked about their struggles in the red zone for Cleveland, and the Ravens have been unbelievable. Since that two-game stretch where they weren't good, I believe they scored on 14 of their 16 red zone trips, their last 16. And as far as I know, one of them that they didn't score was because they knelt it because the game was over, and the other was a field goal. So they've been unbelievably successful. And Jimbo, you know it. I mean, the guy he's looking for, it's no surprise, and it doesn't matter if they know. It is Mark Andrews. And this should come as no surprise. Their first matchup, he had two touchdowns. He had five catches, 80 yards, two tutties. He's getting two tutties again today or tomorrow or whatever the heck day, 2 days from now. He's getting another couple of tutties, okay, because they have nothing for him. They drafted a bunch of small, fast linebackers because they're like, we got to catch Lamar Jackson. They're too damn small for big man Drews, okay? He's a whole different breed. So I respect their defense. They got a hell of a defense. You're right. They attack you. They come after you. But the Ravens ain't the same old Ravens. We know how to beat that zero blitz. Lamar Jackson finds that hot route because one's available. Because there's actually a hot route. I think they're ready for it. And if you want to call this a litmus test, it's going to look real good for the Ravens side afterwards.
Yep. Couldn't agree more. And the other thing I just want to say, I was thinking about this week, is that I talked about OBJ being the, and this goes to my offensive key, being the guy that can carve out his niche in the end zone for the Ravens and continue to do that. But I also think he's what I'm going to call our blitz buster, right? Mm-hmm. Like he did that. What game was that where he went for that slant?
What was that? Was that the Lions game?
Was that the Lions game?
I think it was.
Early on. I think you're right. But I think that OBJ only needs to do that 2-3 times a game. And they're like, I'm not saying it needs to be that big of a play, but you know, just to make them pay for their, once again, their aggression, and it changes the defense's thinking.
Well, like, and also what it does, Jimbo, I'm so glad you brought this up. I don't know if you guys have seen it, but Rashad Mendenhall was on some talk show. And he talked about a lot of things, but one thing he talked about is the Ray rule. And I thought this was so cool. He said, yeah, we had a Ray Lewis rule. And they said, what was that rule? He said, if you had the ball, I don't give a damn who tackles you. Don't let it be Ray. Because when Ray tackles you, he's getting up. He's flexing. He's looking at every defender on his team in the eyes, and he's getting them jacked up. And I like to say OBJ does that for this offense. So I think you're right. Like, any, even if it's only two of those, he's getting up, he's signaling first down, he's hype, and he's getting the rest of the team hype around him. So it's like when people talk about OBJ's impact, it's so much more than just what you see in the box score. And Ray was the same way. Like when they're like, let anyone tackle me but Ray. I don't care if I even have one less yard, because Ray will get the whole team hype, bro.
Yep. Couldn't agree more. And I mean, OBJ's impact has been profound. But I think that he continues, like I said, to carve out those areas where he can be of high impact, even if the volume isn't crazy, right? But he can be highly impactful, because it's really hard to find a guy that is shifty enough, that is savvy enough, that is strong enough, that has the catch radius that he has, that has the hands that he has, that can get open in a phone booth. And say what you want about how he's beat up. He left that DB in the dust in the red zone. He's a pure route runner. And I think, you know, just that slant, the subtlety of it, he was so open. Lamar threw a great ball. They make it look simple, but it's not all that simple, folks. I think he continued to create his role on this team. So I'm looking forward to it. But
do you expect him to try and pound it more in this game? Like,
interesting, because Keaton's had this breakout, right? And you want to exploit that, but I'm going to say yes. I mean, I think the Ravens, if I'm not mistaken, they've done so in the past against the Browns. Mm-hmm. In an AFC North game, more than others, John really likes to control the pace, in my opinion. And so it's not about lighting up the scoreboard as much as it is about limiting the possessions for the other team, controlling the pace of the game. Let's close this thing out. Let's run the football. So yeah, I'd say so. I think so. Look, the biggest revelation in the last game was the way they ran the ball in a light box.
Mm-hmm.
They tried
Pick
to,
it up.
Yeah. They tried to keep throwing the ball in a light box and throw over top of it, things like that. But why fix it if it ain't broke, right? Like run at it. So I think that until, once again, you take what they give you. If they give you the light box, do you run it down their throats? So I say so. Yeah.
Yeah. It does nothing but slow down Myles Garrett if he's got to receive a constant wave of offensive linemen, you know, going after him instead of falling back in pass setting. They're run blocking and they're going right at him. That's certainly got to wear you down. I mean, as good a player and as good, you know, good a conditioning he has, I think that'll do a lot for, you know, just to help the offensive line. Shout out to Orion. Yeah, that's right. People's champ. I love it. My man. You know what I'm saying, dude? People's champ, bro. You see?
It's all right. It's lonely at the top.
All right. Let's get into the other side of things. Let's get into the Ravens defense versus this Cleveland Browns offense. So, of course, you guys know, again, it's a division matchup. No surprises here. Amari Cooper is their number one receiver. He's, you know, a route running extraordinaire. He's as good as it gets when it comes to route running in the National Football League. David Njoku, you know, a vertical threat from the tight end position. The guy played with his face burned off and had a pretty damn good game against us. So he's certainly a guy you got to look out for. Elijah Moore, it's like when is that breakout game? He was supposed to be the guy. Hasn't had that yet, but still a guy you got to worry about. James Prochet is a hell of a play. Right? Right, Jimbo? James Prochet?
Oh, sorry, you froze every second. Yeah, heck of a football player.
Yeah, he's somebody that scares the out of me. They also have two.
He should scare the Browns if they're relying on him. Poor guy. I gotta be nice.
Yeah, be nice, man. Jerome Ford and Kareem Hunt are their two-headed monster at running back. They got a lot of names, but we talked about it earlier. Their offensive line, Jimbo, is absolutely beat up. They will be without Wills, without DeJuan Jones, without Conklin. It's looking like Hudson, you know, James Hudson and Jaron Christian will be their tackles. It looks like Hudson.
Well, if he's Christian, he better be praying it alone.
Yeah, I mean, I got to think that the revenge tour that's going on right now for Jadeveon Clowney, as he's played all four of his previous teams, he gets to do so again. I got to imagine he's hyped for this game. Yep. Owe is playing like out of his mind right now, and I think he's hyped for this game. Meta BK is going to play really well. But let me just get into some of their numbers. And again, it's kind of inconsistent because they've had a lot of turnover. Like their quarterback's been PJ Walker.
Yeah.
For the season, they're 14th. They average 22 points a game. They're 18th in yards at 328 per game. They convert third downs. This is, again, I mean, backwards, 31 in the league, dude. They only convert third down at 31.6% conversion rate. I mean, but a lot of that, I'm sure, was with PJ Walker at quarterback. But Deshaun hasn't been much better, ladies and gentlemen. He is not very good either. Rushing yards per game, they're third at 144. But a lot of that was Nick Chubb. He's no longer here. Passing yards per game, they're 29th, 184 passing yards per game, Jimbo.
Mm. Wait, can I just ask you real quick, what do they do with Nick next year?
That's a
contract's
question.
Up, right? He was in a contract year?
Was he? Oh,
he's,
I didn't even
second
know
round
that.
Picks, that's 4 years.
He's already had a second deal there, though. He's been there for longer than 4 years.
Mm-mm.
What?
Because he was part of the running back conversation.
No way.
Yeah. He definitely does not have a second deal.
It's only been there that little bit of time, dude.
Yeah, it might not even be 4 yet. That might only have been his 3rd year, but I think this was year 4.
Nah, look, he signed a 3-year, $36 million contract extension.
When was I asleep?
$20 million in guarantees. He's a free agent in 2025 is when he's a free agent.
Dang, dude, that deal happened right under my eyes. Wow.
He had a pretty nice. Yeah, that's a pretty nice deal.
Yeah, well, I was dreaming that somehow he'd end up a Raven.
Oh, that's where you were going with this. Yeah.
Yeah. Wouldn't that be great?
That would be great. I mean, depending on how he comes back, I expect him to
he's
come
Nick
back,
Chubb,
but,
dude.
He's an absolute animal. But I don't even know what his status will be like start next of next year. You know what I mean? Like, ugh.
But they did say it wasn't as bad. He's the only Brown I like.
Yeah, he's pretty likable.
Yeah, he did say, they did say that it wasn't as bad as initially anticipated.
But they had to do two different surgeries.
Did they end up doing the two? I thought initially it was the two, and then they ended up only having to do one. I could be totally wrong. Apparently,
it was two, dude. It was two. Yeah. Because the hamstring, too, man.
Oh, right. But it was less ligaments than they initially talked about, I think is what it ended up being.
But that joint was the wrong way, dude. I'm not even laughing, but dang, it didn't look good. But of course, the Ravens defense, they come to town with the number one points per game, 13. The yards second, 262. They surrender seventh and third down. They give up third down conversion 34.8%. Number one in opponent red zone scoring. You know, you love to see it, Jimbo, that they're big. And they're good in the most important, because it's like Cleveland. It's like they're good, And then you look at their red zone, you go, well, that's not so daggone good. So the Ravens don't have a weakness on defense. Like, even the great defenses around the league, they have something they struggle at. The Ravens struggle at nothing, Jimbo.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I'm so – I love this defense because – you know why I love this defense, Glenn? Because they are the way that they are because they play as a unit. It's very clear because if you take the – we got names. Like, don't get me wrong, but if you take the names that the Browns have and the names that the Ravens have, I think it's pretty clear the Browns have more names. We got names. Like, don't get me wrong. But the Ravens really hold each other accountable as a defense, feed off of one another, play as a unit. That's the only way you can explain – how they are rushing the passer at such a rate, a successful rate. They help. You see it in the schemes that McDonald is running, the way that they're setting each other up for success. I think it's so cool to watch. Man, the Roquan effect, the Mike McDonald effect, even the vets, bringing the vets in that are so appreciative of playing for a guy like Mike. And then the young guys showing up, Geno, Kyle, Brandon Stevens, like you got the vets coming in, you got the reliable vets that have been with the team playing well, and you got the young kids being developed, and you got the coach. I mean, you can't ask for more. The unit's playing really well. I'm really excited to see the ceiling of this defense.
What do you think about the fact that Myles Garrett is the clear and away favorite right now to win Defensive Player of the Year? Surprisingly, nowhere on the list is any Ravens.
Right. That's what I was just about to say. That's just nuts.
I mean, what are we doing? Isn't this the best defense in football? Like,
yeah. That's just lazy, right? It's counting numbers, but that just shows you once again, right? That, like, look, and that's the thing that's frustrating. Even Draymond gets his flowers, right? For being like all defense because he puts up like 6 points and 6 assists. You know what I mean? And like 8 rebounds. Like, his stat line is garbage, right? But if you just watch the game, you realize the value that he brings to the unit, right?
Yeah.
And the standard that he sets for that defense. Like, how are people not watching the people that make these votes? How are they not watching football in depth enough to realize that there's guys on the Ravens team, even in counting numbers? Geno Stone is leading league interceptions, but look at what Roquan is doing since the day he got here. It's been a calendar year now. We've been the number one defense in the NFL.
And he's not even on the list. I don't mind if you put, because in my opinion, it is Myles Garrett right now.
right now
he's deserving, but the fact that they weren't even on the list, bro, because there was a lot of names on that list. Max Crosby, again, he's been playing his ass. I like that guy, but to not even be on the list is pretty shocking.
Yeah.
Ravens O's Nation has an idea of how we can further distract Deshaun Watson. You said just offer free massages.
Dude, I'm going to, should I get a really, really derogatory trolling poster and take it to the game?
Oh, yes.
I don't know if my wife's going to let me.
She's not.
Oh, dude, what can I put on it?
Us going? Yes.
Dude, free massages here. Like, what can we do? Oh.
Yeah.
I've
got to
think of something. I want
to. No, just say, Deshaun, there will be no happy ending after this one.
No happy endings at M&T Bank Stadium.
That's right. Deshaun, not you today. Can leave now. Not today, Deshaun.
I love it.
Yeah. That, I tell you, that offense.
Show up with some baby oil.
Oh my God. Just spray it on him.
Yeah.
Comes out of the tunnel, just hose him down. What you talked about the Ravens pass rush, man. And when you look at these tackles and what they're going to have to deal with, you know, the Ravens don't have that stud guy. They don't have a Max Crosby. They don't have Myles Garrett or Watt. They don't have any of those guys, but yet they lead the league by far in sacks. And I think I just saw a breakdown, which, if you guys hadn't seen, it's floating around Twitter, but the guys and gals over at NFL Live did a great job. Man, their analytics department, they find the stats, they find the trends. I absolutely love it. I wish we had an analytics department, Jimbo. Yeah. They could feed us this kind of information. Mm-hmm. But the Ravens are doing something I always heard known it as organized chaos. That's what was brought here by Rex Ryan back in the day. But now they're calling it simulated pressures. And apparently, The Ravens simulate pressure more than any team in the National Football League. And what they're finding is across the National Football League, there's no better thing to do. Not blitzing, not dropping everyone in coverage with a four-man blitz. Nothing is more effective than simulation pressure, which I'll tell you in a second what that is in case you guys aren't familiar. That there's nothing more effective than using that to get to the quarterback on third down and also to prevent conversions on third down. And the Ravens do it more than anyone in the league. And what that is they'll line up, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8 guys at the line of scrimmage. And some of those guys are going to drop and some of those guys are coming. And you don't know who the hell's doing what, because after, you know, one play they could have Clowney drop and Van Noy drop and have the two linebackers come. Next play, those guys are, and they'll drop. They'll drop Travis Jones into coverage. They'll drop, you know, you just don't know. They'll bring a safety, and you don't know who's coming, and you don't know who's dropping in coverage. And what that, it makes a pause for the quarterback. It makes a pause for your running, your receivers. Because look, this ain't college. Receivers read the defense too and adjust their routes accordingly. Mm-hmm. So when they are just so confused, it's causing pauses by the quarterback, by the pass catchers. It's throwing off timing, and that's why there's just. They're getting to the quarterback at a historic rate,
yep.
Despite the fact that they don't have a Terrell Suggs running around the edge.
Right. Yeah. I think there was this whole wave. I kind of said this in our last show, and I continue to think about this whole wave of like hiring young offensive guys going against these old defensive guys.
Mm-hmm.
But I really think it's an advantage to have now a younger, not that ageism is the thing, it's not my point, but it's now this younger guy who's grown up in this age of watching football and breaking down offensive film this way, that he is, that's first nature, right? Yep. His first instinct. And so it's kind of a way to combat that. And it's been exciting to watch, to have him confuse the offensive coordinators, the offensive line coaches. Right. And
look at Joe Burrow. Look what he does to Joe Burrow.
Yeah. On the regular.
It's like, all the time. Like, it's absolutely it's fun, man. I mean, they are innovative. They are unique. They're just different, man. And
yeah.
And so, like, when people get on, this is kind of a side thing. When people get on Harbaugh because he doesn't have a system,
right?
If he had his own system, you wouldn't have Mike McDonald, because Mike McDonald is empowered by John Harbaugh,
yep,
to do his job. And so, what's so cool about Baltimore is that 1 year, we could have the zone, you know, the zone block. We could have the Shanahan system come in. And in 5 years, if we lose that offensive coordinator, we could have a power system come in. It's different. It's not the same tired BS. We hear about the Raiders. What are they saying about Josh McDaniels? He's running the same. He ran with Brady 20 years ago. Mm-hmm. Like, and Bill Belichick, you don't think that there's a problem with the fact that he's running the same tired ass shit? You don't think there's a reason he's dead last in the AFC right now? Mm-hmm. Like,
well, that might not be the only reason.
Why else? Because you don't have Tom Brady?
Bill might be a little distracted these days.
Why? What happened? What's
he
doing?
Did you see the ring, Cam?
No, what happened?
No, you, Glenn.
What happened, dude?
Dude, Bill Belichick, the old walk of shame.
What? Dude, where?
Leaving somebody's house early in the morning. No, no shirt. No shirt. Shoes in his hand, trying to close the door quietly. You haven't seen this?
I'm looking it up right now.
On everything, it's just like a 7-second clip, but it's clearly Bill Belichick
doing the walk of shame.
Dude, doing the walk of shame.
What?
Bro.
When did this happen?
Oh, I'm pulling it up. I'm putting it on the screen.
Yeah, dude. I need to see Bill Belichick doing the walk of shame, dude. I absolutely need. Was this a while ago or recent?
It was. They haven't confirmed when it happened, but it just came out the video.
Oh, dude. No way. I'm watching it. That is definitely a shirtless Bill Belichick.
Yes. I'm putting it on the screen, even
my
though.
My man don't miss chest day, by the way.
He might miss cardio day.
Yeah, but he don't miss chest day.
No.
Holy smokes. And this does not look like. That is absolute.
Oh, can you see this on the screen?
Let me see.
Let's see. Hold on.
Yeah, throw that up there, dude. I need to see Bill Belichick doing the walk of shame. Look
at this,
oh.
Look at the hair all matted in the back. We're trying to close the door all quiet.
He's late for practice, dude.
I know. Oh. I don't even know if his pants are butt buckled. Like, you see his
dude,
top.
Where is his shirt? It's not even like it's in his hand. Like,
no, he just left it.
He
in
just
the
left
car.
His shirt. He's like, nah, it's staying under the bed. I couldn't find it.
It just got ripped. It was like, yeah, on her side of the bed. So he's like, I ain't waking her up.
Dude, how did I not see this? Dude, how break, great bro? Is Look this? At him. He's taking that deep breath. Wow. That is awesome. Thank you. Thank yes. you for bringing that up. Holy. Yeah,
that was such a good time, man. Oh, I tell you what. I love the close.
Yeah,
the,
dude.
The quiet. Yeah. He's trying to get it. And then he like the screen, the squeaky screen door. He's trying to get it to go all quiet. You know? Yeah. I love. He also looks outside and he's like, he like gathers his faculties.
Yeah. He looks around. Maybe you've seen if the paparazzi's out there
or where's my car
or that. Yeah. Maybe he had a couple, you know, fire waters before he got there and forgot his car.
That might be the reason he's laughing last in the AFC. Who knows?
Man, that is
too this is the real question. Was that McDaniel's house? Did he go like? Is he like, dude? We need you back. Let's just have a sleepover.
Whatever it takes.
Yeah, we'll watch film all night. Sleepover time.
He had the girls out and everything, dude.
Yeah, man, what a good time. And then let me ask you this: do you think that this would have been released if they were the Patriots of old playing so well?
I think it would have been bigger news. I mean, the fact that they're so mean, they're so like, who cares? I think is the reason I didn't see it, dude. Man, that was hilarious, dude.
Yeah.
Man, maybe it was Brady's house. He's trying to get him to come out of retirement.
Yeah, I'm sure Brady's down in Florida somewhere, not paying taxes. He ain't up in Nantucket.
No, absolutely not. But all right, I didn't even give my key to the game yet. We got to give our keys.
No, neither of us did.
Oh, all right, so obviously they're going to try and run the ball. We know that. That's what they want to do. They lean on their two-headed monster at running back, despite the fact that they lost Nick Chubb. That has not stopped them. But typically what they want to do is get the ball down the field and try and, you know, get some chunk plays off the run game. The problem is they don't have an offensive line, I don't think, that's going to provide enough time for the receivers to get downfield. So I think what they're going to try and do is utilize the quick passing game, get the ball out of his hands quick and hope that the guys on the outside can make tacklers miss and turn a short play into a big one. But they have no speed. All their speed is either hurt or they traded it away, which again is still completely puzzling. So to me, their only deep ball threat is David Njoku over the middle, which with our speed at linebacker and safety, I don't look at that as really a viable option. So I think they're going to try the quick passing game. When that doesn't work, they're going to go back to what they do. And I think that's where we take advantage and beat up their already beat up offensive line. We're going to see, I think, we're going to see a 5+ sack game because I think the Ravens will get out into a lead where they'll have to abandon that quick passing. They're just going to be forced to try and pick up chunk plays, and their offensive line, the way this defensive line's playing, the motivation they're going to have coming into this game. They talked about playing this game as if it's their Super Bowl, Jimbo, the Ravens. So it tells you the level of focus. I got Justin Madubuike being my defensive breakout player because I think they're going to do a ton to try and help those tackles on the left and right side. And they're going to leave some one-on-ones on the inside. And Justin Madubuike is just too damn talented for that. And so I think he gets 2 sacks in this one, Madubuike does. That's right.
I like it. I like it. All right. Well, to all of your points, I agree 100%. It's funny how
DK's in here. Hey, my man.
It's funny how I think that the Browns, what they need to do in theory is exactly what you were saying, get the ball out quick, this and the other. Deshaun Watson does none of that. That's just not his game. That's not what he thinks is going to, you know, makes him valuable. It's not what he made him tons of money. They're just going to struggle to do that. And the other thing too, from offensive perspective, their coach loves, if you remember the Kirk Cousins days with Stefanski, that was a lot of play action. There was balance to that offense. Like that's where he thrives as a coach. And so I think that the way that my defensive key to the game is make Stefanski forget about simply the offense, like making the offense do a certain thing, make him coach and throw the ball more than he's comfortable doing so as a coach. Like that's what I want them to do. And so that's basically my remix to make Deshaun Watson beat us.
I like that. He spun it.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah. I like that.
Theoretic, like ingrained in Stefanski, this is not his thing. He doesn't feel comfortable with it.
That's a good thing to do to give a guy $200 and how many million dollars and then just not feel comfortable even letting him throw the ball. That's good.
Yeah. Well, but you know what I'm saying, though, right?
No, like, I know. But I think if this was – if he had a better quarterback, he might want to throw it a little more.
Maybe. But I also mean, like, let's see. I'm trying – whoever all Peyton Manning's coaches were comfortable just like, all right, we'll throw it 50 times a game and, like, we'll win or lose, right? That's just not Stefanski's thing.
No.
Even what's his name? Oh, frick. Andy Reid with the right, you know, he coaches to his players, but he'd be happy to do that. He'd be just happy to do something like that. Yep. You know, the Bills are happy to do that.
That's
right?
The one criticism of Reid is he doesn't run the ball enough. It's been the same thing since he was in Philly.
Yeah. Yep. But I think that Stefanski really needs to be at his best. Every coach does. Well, maybe not. Reid obviously doesn't. But to be as impactful as he's been in the past, he needs certain plays in his playbook to work. And if they're not there, I think he really struggles to switch it up. So because of that, you talked about it earlier, the revenge tour, the missing tackles really are going to make them struggle. I'm going with Clowney as my breakout player, and I'm going 2 sacks. I think Deshaun's going to be back there, you know, running east to west, trying to hold on ball for 7 seconds, getting kicked in the eye, all those things. I think that Clowney takes him down twice and looks over at the benches and gives him a big wave.
Yeah, they thought he was done. He does not. You know, it's funny. I think Justin Houston led our team in pressures last year. Mm-hmm. And Jadeveon Clowney, I believe, already surpassed that number.
That's awesome.
He was our leader last year. Sean says, James, just bring one of those vibrating back massagers to the game and throw it at Deshaun after. just huck it right at him as he's going through the tunnel. Just a reminder. You better keep your helmet on, Deshaun.
Yeah, I would like to know what Sean Pisker's interaction as a police officer would be with Deshaun Watson. Like,
just tase him.
Straight tase.
Just mace him. Just, yeah, oops. Oops.
Little slip of the finger there.
Yeah, oopsie. Sorry about
didn't
that.
Didn't you do that a couple times? A couple slips of the finger there?
Deshaun? Oh, no.
You know about that one, buddy?
Yeah, yeah. I would think Sean's like, what was it, the other guys, when Mark Wahlberg accidentally shot Derek Jeter, because he was the security guard for the Yankees. So let's hope Sean – I tell you what, that looks like the best gig, though. If you can work the sidelines in an NFL game.
Yeah.
I mean, you get front row seats to an epic game.
Hey, who
game.
You got a massage to be able to do that?
Hey, now. All right, let's see here. Don C says, can't wait for 1 p.m. I'm definitely getting Super Bowl vibes. I usually would get nervous before the game. Now I think you boys about to get a beat down. Absolutely.
Right.
You know what?
Hello, Don.
Should we be nervous though? Because I'm like Don. I'm confident about this game. And usually it's these games, Jimbo, that end up being closer than we expect.
I mean, I think it is going to be closer than the other games. respectively, but I also think that because it's a division game, be confident. Look, okay. This is, you know, we're healthy, we're playing well, and we're just coming together. So yeah, I say roll with the confidence. I get it though. Like, when's the other shoe gonna drop type thing?
Well, just like it just seems, you know, we always had the level of your competition, but right now, I mean, there's really no ease. There's no dips right now. Like, yeah. Everyone in the North is a good team, and AFC is loaded. So maybe
we better.
I'll let you read this one here, Jimbo.
Don C says the Belichick video would have been awesome if Robert Kraft came out in a fuzzy robe smoking a cigarette. That would have been hilarious.
Like yelling at him as he's leaving, or like waving to him like this. That would have been wonderful. But yeah, I can't wait. I hope some reporter has the gahonies to ask.
No way. Not a chance.
He'd be like, we're on to Cincinnati. he would give no answer.
We're on to the neighbor's house.
Dude, I've got to look up his presser. I got to know if he was at least asked. If someone had the balls to ask him about that video.
Yes. Now look what Sean said. Maryland State Police is actually down on the field during the games. You just have to know the right people.
Dang.
You have to grease the right wheels, right, Sean?
You know what I say, though, Sean? If you put a gun to someone's head, they'll do whatever you tell them. I mean, that's what I always say, Sean.
And that's exactly why Glenn is not a cop.
It's amazing how convincing it is. So you could get on the field, Sean, if you tried hard enough. That's really what it comes down to. But yeah, so all right, well, let's get into it. It's that time, Jimbo. Oh my goodness, my man needs some more, dude. You need some more medicine here. All right, let's get into our competition. We won't review the current standings because, look, you guys don't care. But the point is that this segment is brought to you by BetUS. BetUS is the OG in sports betting. And not only that, but they won't just match your initial deposit, ladies and gentlemen. They will give you 125% of your initial deposit up to $2,500. No one else is doing that. I mean, that's ridiculous. Some will match, but not give you that extra 25%. And all you got to do to get that is use promo code 410. It's that easy. And Jimbo, I want you to share with them because I think what you guys do, what you and Tanya do is so cool. And just share with them and kind of tell, because look, I know our demographic, you know, we're heavy on the guys and we got some loyal women as well, but tell the guys out here, they can get their better half more involved.
Yeah. It's the best way to do it because look, it's always fun to have some friendly competition in the household. And while not as vocal about it, my wife is certainly competitive to the death about everything. And so what we've decided to do is on Sunday, Monday, Thursday, we get in the app, we take some game bets, and we make bets on them. You know, we'll take opposite sides and winner take all, baby. So, it's an absolute blast doing it. You guys should have some fun doing it as well. Put in some money. And look, if you win, then, you know, have your parameters set up, right? And no,
a bet's a bet, bro.
That's right. Yeah. But have a good time with it. Like it's just like Glenn said, it's an absolute blast. So make sure you use it, download it yourself, use the promo code 410, have your, like you said, if you want to be like my wife and I, have your better half do the same thing. It makes the evening's fun, man, because even if like we're not watching the whole game on like a, obviously Ravens game, I'm watching every single second, but like if it's another game, if we're not watching like the whole game.
Bears and Panthers last
night? Yeah, you better believe I'm checking the score a couple times. Checking my lines because I'm like, and we're like laying in bed and I'm like, hey, look, I'm winning, you know? I mean, it's just, she's like, dang it, you know what I mean? It's just, it's just a lot of fun. So check it out. It's a good time. BetUS is the best. It's that simple. Make sure to go check it out. All right, let's do this thing, Glenn.
Yeah, and as you guys know, we have a series of over-unders followed by some closest to the pin tiebreakers. We have a show competition internally between me, James, and DK. But of course, we open up the competition to all fans. If you want to participate, simply give your answers to the over-under and tiebreaker questions in the comment section after this live is over, or message us those answers at the social media handles above my head.
Yep.
Please do not do it in the live or they will be erased when the live is over. And if you have to make any edits to your answers, just erase the comment, put a new one. That way it's time stamped with the accurate time. But let's get
last thing. Yeah. If you've won or if when we announce the winner, please through the same way via DM, please send us your address. Please. Yes. I mean, if you want the swag, but please send it.
I won't show up. I'm not going to be like singing out of your outside your window. None of that.
Yeah.
Just send you some swag. That's all.
That's right.
All right. Let's get into the first one. Yeah, sure. No, number one over under is Ravens rushing yards. DK sets it at 150.5. We average 160 yards per game. Mm-hmm. So Jimbo, will we have more or less than 150 and a half yards?
I'm going under here out of my respect for the Browns. You know, I think that if it's under, it's not that much under. I think we are breaking 100. I'm going to say maybe like 130, 120 maybe. But I'm going under here out of my respect for that defense.
Yeah. They're a talented group. Last time we played them, we beat them 28-3 and we had 131 yards on the ground. I think we'll be better because we're healthier, especially on the offensive line. But I got to say under. I think they get to 145. So I'm going to say under as well. DK says over. The only one of the three to say over. Man, okay.
Mm-hmm. And he's already lost. He's already sunk.
Yep, that's it.
DK, why you do this to yourself, bro?
That's where the downfall begins. The second one we have is Lamar Jackson completion percentage on the season. He's completing passes at a rate of 71.5%, Jimbo. Absolutely incredible what he's been doing. DK just says, will he have more or less than a 69.5% completion percentage? What say you?
Yeah, I say over. Or wait, what did I? Yeah, sorry. I was looking at the line below. Yeah, I said over. I have respect for the defense, but Lamar's at least getting his season average, period. Mm-hmm. I think stopping the run is one thing. Stopping Lamar Jackson, another thing.
Dang, I like it. Well, last time they played, he was 15 out of 19. So I say over as well, because I just think Todd Monken, Lamar Jackson, they're doing a great job at countering what these defenses are doing. And they're using the short pass game, which I'm fine with, to as like almost like a further extension of an already successful run game. So I love what they're doing to counter what defenses are doing. If they want to load the box, okay, do it. So for that reason, I think he's 75% in this game. That's right.
Yep. Ooh, 75%. Right. I like it. All right, let's go to the next one.
Let's see. What was he last time? 15 out of 19? That's got to be close, right?
I mean, yeah, I'll give you some quick math here.
Yeah. I like how you didn't even act like you were doing it in your head.
No. Who does that anymore? 78.9%. 79%, dude.
You see what I'm saying? So 75, that's a drop from what he did the first time. All right, let's get into the next one. Is defensively, Deshaun Watson passing touchdowns. He sets it at 0.5. Jimbo, I'm surprised by your answer. Will he have more or less than half of a touchdown pass?
Ugh, I hate that I put over. I hate it.
Because change it now, dude. I don't blame you if you do.
No, it's okay. I'll stick with over. I think he gets, because a clock is right twice a day, like, he'll throw a touchdown. Whoop-de-doo-da-day in like the fourth quarter.
You know what? I don't think he'll do that. Will he get one touchdown? You know what? I am going to say over. I thought it was 1.5 for a second. Yeah, I am going to say over. I think he'll get one touchdown. Right. Although the Ravens have not given up many, so it wouldn't actually stun me. And I see what DK's doing here. Do you see how he put under? You see what he's doing? He baited us in with this low number, 0.5. They're definitely going to take the over. That might be the turning point right here. And maybe that's that. You know, DK's slick, man. So I say over, you say over, DK says under. All right, next one. Ravens sack total. They had 4 sacks last time the two teams met. DK sets it at 2.5. What do you say?
Yeah, I'm going here with over. You said it's going to be a 5-sack game for the Ravens, is that what you said? Yeah, I don't know if it'll be a 5-sack game. I like a 4-sack game, but for sure, with Deshaun Watson back there waddling around trying to find the closest masseuse, they're going to get some sacks in.
Yeah, I think over as well. They're too beat up on the offensive line. The Ravens are too good, and I think a negative game script will force them into throwing the ball a lot, which will lead to, obviously, sacks. So over as well. DK says under. Surprising on that one, man. He is really taking the opposite. I mean, he's either going to be really right or really wrong this week. And it kind of seems like that's him every week this week or this year. So yeah, we'll have to wait and see who ends up being the smartest. And then the first tiebreaker, over under, as always, DK sets it at 38.5 total points for this matchup. What do you think, Jimbo?
Yeah, I'm going over here. I think the Ravens win this game in convincing fashion. My math is right here. Yes. So I think I have it tallied at 40, and I think the Ravens in 27-13. They basically double them up and then some, just a little bit more. But yeah, I'm going over on the points. 27-13, Ravens win.
I like it. I would almost predict the exact score. I think I'm going to say 28-10, a little bit more of a beatdown. Oh, actually, no, 28-13, because if I did 28-10, that would be under, and I said over. So 28-13 will be my prediction. So I say over as well. DK agrees over all three. And then the last one, tiebreaker, total yards for the Ravens, closest to the pin. Jimbo, what do you think?
Yeah, here I'm going. Let's see here. I'm going with 355, and of course, as always, I'm going with the highest number.
Wait.
Yeah, DK normally does that one.
And I think I did it last week. I think I had the 331. Remember? I 331.
Oh, you won that one, didn't it?
But it didn't end up mattering.
It's all in vain. Yeah, well.
Yeah, it's all.
But no, I'm going with 355.
Okay.
And I think the Ravens will move the ball well. Like I said, I think stylistically, this is a tough matchup for this defense.
Yeah, I got them getting to 300. I think they're a talented defense. And let me see. The Ravens, last time we played, we had – oh, I honestly did not check this. We had 296 yards the first matchup. So I'm going to say 300. DK splits it. He says 325. So we'll have to see. But, guys, please participate. Put your answers in. It's completely free. But also, yes, what's also completely free and helps us a ton, please hit the like button. It takes 2 seconds. It's
completely bing, bing. Wait, free. Wait. Here it goes.
Let me say.
Boop.
Dude, this guy is a wizard. I mean, he's a wizard.
Hold on.
No.
Fireworks.
Dude, I'm so jealous, bro. Why is my Mac old and not have any of this cool stuff?
Wait. Thumbs down. Let's see. Let me see if I can give you some other ones. Okay. Peace sign. We know this one. It's confetti. One peace sign. Hold on. Balloons. Wait, check this one out. See if it does.
No.
It. Lasers, baby. Bro, what up? Wait.
I'm so jealous.
Wait.
Dude, I'm so jealous right now. I am so envious. I would do that all the time to be obnoxious.
And it's not gonna show
me. I was gonna say, I love when you do it and it doesn't work. Because you know why your pinky was off camera.
Yep.
Sean says pinky. I used to work security for the games, but I'd kill to be on the field. So I wonder what that means. Are you on like the, and by the way, you can't say I'd kill to be on the field.
He did that on purpose because he said the gun thing.
All right, Sean. But I'm wondering, where does the security work if not on the field? I guess like in the tunnel or the parking area where I, but that's pretty cool. Got to see him walking in with their Beats headphones on. Jason, appreciate it, Jason.
Hey-o.
Appreciate the generosity.
Wait, can I give everyone fireworks when they give us a super chat?
Sure.
Is that a new thing?
Sure. We can make. Hey-o. Oh, whoa. At the end there, the it happened at the. It got intense.
Let's see.
I want. Look at that, dude. You see that at the end there?
Fancy.
Shout out to Jason, by the way.
Yes,
looks like a huge Ravens fan. Appreciate it. JL says, tired of this is going to be close. Nah, thrashing. Yeah, let's beat these dudes into the absolute dirt. We've done it. We did it in convincing fashion against the Lions. Absolutely destroyed the Seahawks. And let's just do it again. And look, this is an important game, Jimbo. It's an important game because of what's happening on Thursday. Because if they lose this game on Sunday, it makes that Thursday game so much more important. If they win on Sunday, it's like, okay, it's a tough ass to turn around and play the Bengals on Thursday. It makes that game so much less meaningful, right?
Agreed. Yeah, we need this, need the momentum. And, man, coming out this week, I'm really looking forward to it. So let's go Birds. Let's go Ravens. Let's get it done. Make sure you guys join us right after the game. We're going to be rocking on right after the game. Please work for me while I'm still talking. I'm trying to stay on screen. Wait.
All right. Yeah.
Go. Jeez Louise. Anyway, all that being said, I'm looking forward to it. And
Don C says you're a beautiful unicorn.
Dude, I'll take it. I'll tell my wife that.
Bro.
you also didn't catch my statement.
What?
When I said you said your pinky's on the screen, I said, I want pinky. I'm such a 5-year-old, dude. I'm a child.
Family show. It's a family show. Okay.
I'm a child, man. Well, yeah, I'm a child. That's all it is.
But that's it for us tonight, guys. Make sure you're back with us post game. We will be live discussing whether we're celebrating or whether we're pissed off and raging. We will be here for all
celebration.
Of it. Yes, I think it will be as well. But be here with us to celebrate. And like I always say, be here or be square.
That's right. Ka-ka! Ka-ka!